Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, all right. Welcome to another episode of The Close-Up, part of the Orlando Magic HQ Network. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron, and today is a very fun, special episode. We're doing a little one-off today because we have ex-Orlando Magic beat reporter Kobe Price in the house tonight. He joins us as the Magic base, the Lakers at Amway, which is really fun. Tomorrow, the teams right now are both going into this matchup 3-2. So one of our teams will be going home or finishing this game 4-2, which is really exciting. It was really good to catch up with Kobe. It was a short time. We chatted for about 30 minutes. This isn't going to be the longest episode in the world. Giving you a little bit of a preview of the Lakers matchup, Lakers Magic matchup. We also talk a little bit about Kobe, kind of how he's getting settled in with the Lakers and like some differences for him covering a team like the Magic, which had up and coming, team rookie of the year when he was covering them. Now covering a team like the Lakers, huge spotlight on them on a big basis and needing to, cover a player like LeBron and stuff like that. So it's a really fun, insightful conversation. I think y'all are going to enjoy it. Kobe's great, man. Like Jason's doing an awesome job covering his spot at Orlando Sentinel. I wish there was space for both of them, but obviously Kobe's doing some really great things out in LA and taking some really good steps for his career. So more power to him. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. The last of the major pro sport leagues is off and rolling with college basketball, and it's ready to go as well. Bet Online remains your top spot for all your live betting actions and contests. So if you want to bet that the Orlando Magic are going to whoop up on them Lakers, BetOnline is your place to go. Just go to BetOnline and place your wagers. You can do it. You can make that money. You can get them bags, right? NFL, college football, UFC, and NHL are all in full swing. So is the NBA. BetOnline is your number one spot for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. All the hoops betting action along with every sport available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access anytime. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use code BLEAVE. That's B-L-E-A-V. B-L-E-A-V. That's the promo code for your 50% off your welcome bonus on your first deposit. So again, first deposit, BLEAVE, gives you 50%. Welcome bonus. I think that means if you deposit $100, you're going to get another 50 as a welcome bonus. So that's 50% of 100 in your account to go gamble with and go make some cash. Hit the over on the Magic season total. All right. Again, Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, Magic fans. We don't got to go on too much longer. The Magic just beat the Jazz, ending their four-game road trip. Paolo went off for 30. Really fun and exciting game for him. It was smooth. It was effortlessly, super efficient. It wasn't effortlessly. He tried real hard to get there, but it's like he found his groove again. Some bad news. Wendell Carter broke his hand going up for a massive rebound in the last seconds as we wrapped up the game. He's going to be out for a while. I'm not sure. Maybe the news has come out while I'm recording this, but that's probably going to be a few weeks to maybe a month-ish. That typically takes a little while. He's got one of his things have broken. Gary Harris had a sore quad and didn't play the second half. Hopefully it's just some management. He'll be back tomorrow, hopefully. I'm not sure. Foltz didn't play in this game either. He had a swollen knee. I'm really not too concerned about that. I imagine he'll play, on Saturday. So it'll be fun. We ended up that road trip going 2-2, which is awesome. And since we got the W versus the Rockets, the home opener, that leads us at 3-2 right now, above 500 record. No matter what happens on Saturday, we're either going to be 3-3, which is 500, or 4-2, which I would love even more. So we'll see. Big things happening, guys. Enjoy the conversation. Let's get it. Let's go Magic. All right, everyone. Like I said in the intro, we got Magic part of us. He might have left, but he's really a part of us. We got Kobe Price in the building. What's going on, Kobe? How you doing, man?
What up, man? I'm good. How you feeling?
Dude, I'm good. It's Friday. Beautiful day outside here in sunny California. Probably feeling the same over there in Florida. You and I, we kind of switched spots. You came back to Florida. I'm in California. I guess we could have just traded jobs for a little bit. Man, first off, welcome back, man. It's good to have you back on the podcast. Last time we spoke was you were a Magic Orlando. You were Orlando Magic, Orlando Sentinel reporter, and now you are with the Los Angeles Lakers. Before we get into the Magic Lakers game coming up tomorrow or today for the fans that are listening to the show, let's just tap in, man. How you doing? How's your transition to LA going for you? How's LA? Is that lifestyle for you versus the lifestyle in Orlando? Do you kind of prefer getting back into Orlando? What you thinking?
Lifestyle wise, I can do either or. They both come with their benefits and drawbacks, if you want to say a phrase like that. Sure. But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the transition. I'm enjoying the season actually starting. It was kind of a weird time when I jumped in, just because my last day in Orlando was the night of the draft, and then my first day in LA was the Tuesday before free agency started. I think maybe that Friday or Thursday, whatever that day was. So it was a weird spot to the first 2-3 weeks were just ridiculous. And then after Summer League, it just died down so quickly. So it's honestly been great more than anything to actually just get the season started back up. Saturday's game is going to be the sixth game for the Lakers. I think it's also going to be the sixth game for the Magic as well. So it's just been good to actually get regular season NBA basketball back and just seeing what the Lakers look like outside of theory. I always say that in training camp, everything sounds great in theory. Everything sounds awesome. And then it's like, okay, let's actually apply this in real time, in a real game. And then, some things work out, some things don't. And you have to tweak, whether it's make adjustments, whatever it may be. So for me, it's just been good to actually get the games back and being able to go about it that way.
No, man, I feel that. Again, it's in theory conversation. What are these lineups like? How are they going to respond to certain situations on the court? And now we're actually collecting data, early data, small sample sizes, everyone says, but we're collecting that information and able to, start seeing results on the floor and allowing these guys and players to just do what they need to do. Kind of still talking more about you, not so much about the teams yet. What's been a different, you covered the Magic, smaller market team. Granted, some fun stuff going on. You got to cover the Rookie of the Year, really generational, that we feel like type of player, exciting in Paolo and really smart, high-end player in Franz, to now covering the most talked-about team in the NBA, someone who's got, a team with LeBron James. You got fucking LeBron James, let's just be real. That dude's a beast. He's a monster. Not just on the court, but off the court, media-wise. One of the most important people to ever play the game of basketball and whatnot. What are sort of the differences within your role and how you cover a team when it comes to Orlando versus the Lakers?
For me, I guess from the outside, this is a different level of attention just when you do have a player like LeBron James on the team. And that it's almost, I forget, I think it might have been Darvin Ham referred to as like when we were, it was in the before or around the game, the Lakers Kings game. And we were just talking about, you know, that was the 20th anniversary of LeBron, you know, making his debut and just how, you know, as great as the expectations were of him, you know, coming into the league, he somehow find a way not to just meet them, but also exceed them. And he's created this like LeBron James world along the way. So, you know, not being quote unquote inside of it in that sense, but just being, I guess, around it more, just in terms of the job, that's been something that's eye opening, to be honest with you, just seeing like that magnitude of star power, star player, and just the outside attention that comes with, whether it's in a press conference, whether it's in, you know, how the media handles things regarding coverage of LeBron. Seems like every sentence he says is some kind of story that you could read about, just anything. It's honestly fascinating to see, but it's just, that's probably the biggest thing, just the outside attention. In terms of me, I guess in my role, I guess this is more reflective of how I try to approach the Magic beat reporter role. It doesn't really feel like a whole lot different in terms of how I approach for the Lakers beat role or beat reporter role. It's more so just different nuances, but my approach is still very similar. Maybe I like find like a little bit more of like something, a niche to get into, and just working on, you know, six games in, working on that. But in terms of like how I approach it, it still feels fairly similar to how I approached things in Orlando, more or less. Maybe with like a couple tweaks here and there with some small details, but not like these grand adjustments.
That makes sense. When it comes to like navigating team politics, I mean, you worked, you know, covering under John Hammond and Jeff Weltman, and sort of how they like to present themselves and have the team present themselves within the media. Sometimes things were a little bit closed-doored. Sometimes things were felt scripted, particularly when you asked about like certain injuries and stuff like that. It might have loosened up a little bit towards the end, but that's kind of how it can feel sometimes from fandom and stuff like that. Now you're working with Rob Pelinka and a whole other front office and coaching staff. Have you felt differences in communication styles between one or another? Not necessarily that one is better than the other, but just like, or is it kind of like status quo, how like this front office is communicating the same way as like the Magic did, and it's sort of like just like a normalcy within the NBA?
I would say it's too early to tell. Sure. Just because, like I said, just also the time of when I joined, like there hasn't been a whole lot of those situations that you're describing so far.
Right.
Just because what has been 2 weeks, you know, we're about to finish the second week of the season, and there hasn't been there's been a fair amount, like in terms of injuries, I guess on the Lakers side, there's been a fair amount of injuries so far. But they've been up to this point pretty, you know, I guess transparent in that sense, in terms of like, all right, we're going to reevaluate this guy in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which I tell people, like, for me, it's like, all right, I mean, I may ask like an update and then, but at least I know from that standpoint of, all right, like this person's going to be out for two weeks essentially. So too early to tell. But yeah, I mean, well, I guess it's one of those, we'll see as the season goes on, like how the external communication is handled in that sense.
Yeah. And I'm sure it'll get a little bit, you know, different when you get to like trade rumor season, when things are picking up closer to the deadline. That makes a lot of sense. Well, man, that's exciting. I know, you know, us Magic fans and people that cover the team, we loved having you around the last couple seasons. You know, Jason's doing a great job kind of filling in where you left off, but you know, we definitely missed you and having you around. So it's great to kind of get you back over here. And you know, I'm, like I said, I'm sure Magic fans are psyched to have an opportunity to like listen to hear your thoughts today as we talk about, you know, the team and the Lakers and the Magic. Before we kind of get in, what kind of with the Magic made some moves, you know, this summer, nothing too crazy, splashy. They used both their draft picks with Anthony Black and Jet Howard, brought in Joe Ingles. The way the Magic kind of operated their offseason, is that sort of what you were expecting as you were kind of leaving, or did you kind of expect something different? Overall, what are your thoughts about the Magic kind of ending last season, and coming into this season and where we're at now?
Yeah, going into the summer, just talking with people about the team, nobody I spoke with, and even my own, like, nobody I spoke with, and just my own, not assumptions, but my own thoughts on it, just based off information, was that they weren't going to make a whole lot of splashy moves. You know, they everything I gathered about the team was that they were prioritizing building things organically.
Yeah.
And that was going to be shown in the terms of the moves they made during the summer. Now, I'm not saying I saw them signing Joe Ingles. It's not specifically like, oh, I saw them drafting these players or signing this guy or not signing this guy or whatever. But just the approach of, yeah, we're going to continue to build things organically. We're going to continue to leave a pathway for the players that are already on the team to develop and push this team forward to a different level. Yeah, that was – I mean, honestly, they even said as much throughout last season and even going into the summer. So as – you know, I know what am I trying to say? I know there's a lot of skepticism about how transparent they can be, but they've been very – forthcoming in terms of, like, we want to build this organically, and we want to push this forward and allow the guys that are here to be the reason why we continue to get better, them being the Magic, they being the Magic. But, you know, how long that lasts for, I mean, I think this is going to be a pivotal year for them in terms of figuring out, you know, these guys or these who's really a part of the core of this group that's going to help push it forward. Because every single, you know, it's very rare that, you know, when you're in the early stages of rebuilding the team or building the team back out, that, you know, the 7 or 8 rotation, like, or 6 to 8 rotation players from, you know, one team is the same team rotation players that you have 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line, whether it's performance related, contract related, there are typically some sort of changes. But I think this year is pivotal just to show, all right, who are those players that will be here for the long haul? And by long haul, I mean, you know, 3 years down the line, maybe 5 years down the line. I will not say 7 years down the line because it's the NBA and anything things past 5 years fast. To me. Yeah, things move too fast. Projecting things 7 years out does not always feel like the smartest move. But for them, it seemed clear that they were going to take a more continue to be patient with their approach with building, you know, rebuilding the team back up. Honestly, not even just rebuilding. Like, it seemed like they've rebuilt it. Now just building it further. Like just kind of like a building.
The foundation tore it down has been laid.
Yeah, and just now build it back up, see how far that foundation can take you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, now, I mean, I agree. I was kind of hoping they'd do a little bit of different things with the draft situation. Like, I wasn't necessarily all for, like, using both draft picks. I kind of wanted to, you know, do some other things with one of the picks or both of them to an extent, but you know, it wasn't surprising that they used both of them, and, you know, kick the can down the road with the second round pick. That's just kind of like the MO of this front office, which is fine. Yeah, man, so that's cool. Yeah, you're right, like, they're using this season as a team to, like, you know, another year to, like, find out what they got. You know, they've set the pressure to play competitive basketball. The whole team is talking playoffs. That seems to be the expectation for them. And now, you know, when they go up versus Lakers, there's different expectations. You know, when they hit those types of teams, like, we want to see them competing at a high level and, you know, taking some W's, right? You know, and you know, showing good fights to, you know, beat the teams they're supposed to beat and, you know, show good fight and even win some against teams that are maybe in the weight class above them. And, you know, I'll say the Lakers are definitely a weight class above the Magic right now, right? They have two top 10 players in the league right now with, you know, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you know, top 10-ish people. I'm sure someone's going to yell at me for saying someone is not, you know, they're actually a top 12, whatever. They have two of the top guys in the league. They got a, you know, they have a pretty deep bench. You know, definitely a different team than they had last year. Healthier team so far. Early thoughts, right? How far do you think, like, do you view this Lakers team as a top team in the West that can make a run to the finals, or have a deep playoff run? Do you think they're still, like, a couple moves away? Like, what are your thoughts just on this Lakers team? We've seen them once already. We saw them on, what day was that? I think that was Tuesday. Monday. We saw Monday. Yeah, we saw them earlier this week. I forget the date of it, but it was earlier this
Monday.
Week. Monday, yeah. And it was a close game, you know. The Magic were in it with the Lakers the whole time. D'Angelo Russell went off. The guards could not seem to slow him down. But, you know, they couldn't really slow down Gary Harris much, who had like a perfect shooting night, 5 for 5, 4 for 4 from three. And it was just like a really good matchup. We brought it down to the wire with 8 seconds left, down by three. We couldn't close out the game or bring it to overtime to, connect that last 8 seconds. But like, how do you view this Lakers team and you know, kind of where their goals are for this act compared to the Magic?
Yeah, I mean, you compare them, you know, even though I think they both have 3-2 records going into tomorrow. You know, I think the expectation, you know, just being honest and fair, like the expectation for the Lakers is higher than the Magic, as it should totally. Be. Yeah. You know, the Lakers are expected to compete for NBA championship. The Magic are hoping or expecting to make the playoffs. You know, the levels between that are quite different. But with the Lakers, I do see them as a team. To me, in the West, I look at it as, you know, defending champion Denver Nuggets. To me, they're the top dog until someone knocks them off. Right. Or unless they just have a poor regular season that reflects being a level or two below where they were at last season, just especially with the way that they marched through the playoffs. What was it, a 16-4 record in the playoffs on the way to the winning the title. So you have the Nuggets, and then after that, you have this cluster of the Warriors, the Clippers, the Lakers, you know, these bunch of different teams. Yes. I know the Pelicans. Phoenix, yeah, even though they've had a slow start. You know, you could – and I know Dallas and New Orleans have had a strong start to the season. You know, I don't know if I would put Dallas or the Mavericks in that group, but you could definitely throw, you know, this jumble of five to six teams in the West where if you told me it's Denver versus Clippers, Warriors, Lakers go down the line in the Western Conference Finals, I wouldn't be surprised. Or if you told me one of those – you know, Lakers, Clippers, Warriors, you know, whoever knocked Denver out in the second round or even the conference finals, I wouldn't be, you know, I would expect Denver to win that series, but I wouldn't be shocked. There are a lot of different teams in the West. You know, everybody talks about the parity, this, the parity, that. There's a lot of different teams in the West that you could tell me would make it to the conference finals. And once you get that far, I could definitely see you making it, you know, to the finals. And the Lakers are one of those teams. I think that, you know, it hasn't been, you know, a perfect start by any means, but they've definitely shown some good flashes of just playing good basketball, and I think they're figuring things out. The injuries have started to, you know, come up here and there, like I know they have for the Magic as well, but I think there's a team in here that can compete for a spot in the finals. Now, whether they find that team or whether that team's revealed throughout the course of the regular season or the playoffs remains to be seen, but there is a team in there that I could see, you know, competing for a spot in the Western Conference Finals.
I mean, you got LeBron James. Any team that has him, even at 39 or however old he is, ancient man, still like dominating, you know, averaging whatever, something ridiculous. He's playing like a madman right now. It's pretty awesome to see. Man, let's get into this matchup tomorrow. So, like, we got the Lakers versus the Magic, and it's in Amway. Both teams are 3-2. Both teams are kind of figuring themselves out a little bit. You know, it took Paolo a hot minute to kind of find himself, where last night he had a really smooth game to 30 versus the Jazz. You know, Magic lose some key players last night. You know, it's unknown about the status of Gary Harris and Markelle Fultz for tomorrow, at least as of now, from what I've seen in check. Maybe something's come out in the last hour that I haven't seen. We know Wendell Carter's got a broken hand. He's going to be out for a few weeks, probably, you know, maybe a month-ish. So there are some changes from what we saw earlier this week to what we're going to see tomorrow in Amway Center, or today. I'm not sure exactly when this podcast is coming out, so sorry, listeners, if I'm saying tomorrow and you're listening to it on Saturday morning. It might come out later today. I don't know. So, you know, we have a couple of things that have changed, but we also have some teams that are starting to find a little bit more about themselves and their identity offensively, you know, with the Magic, with Paolo going off, you know, again for 30, kind of like getting his confidence last night, I think, and kind of like starting to find that balance with his shooting and aggressiveness. you know, Franz has had a really nice start to the year. Still there. With the reduction of Wendell Carter, do you think the Lakers are going to really focus a lot of attention on Anthony Davis on the offensive side? Or do you think that's still going to kind of be more of like a balance between who's hot with like D'Lo potentially going, you know, getting going again? Or do you think their offensive system is going to change at all, I guess, with the fact that Wendell Carter has dropped out of, you know, the rotation?
I would expect too much. I mean, I know they're trying to emphasize. I think regardless of the matchup, they're trying to make sure that they keep AD involved in the offensive game plan. Regardless, you know, just because in that first game against Denver, you know, I think Denver did a good job of making it hard for the Lakers to get AD involved in spots that he's comfortable. And then he also just missed shots that he would, you know, could make. I think he went 0-for-6 in the second half versus Denver. Maybe they were made, could have gone 2-for-6, two for six if he made shots that he normally would make. But since then, they've really kept him involved. I forget which game it was, and whether it's against the Magic or even, I think it was against the Magic. They, you know, keeping him involved in different kind of sets, keeping him involved just movement-wise offensively. And, yeah, you know, if Wendell's not guarding him, you know, because he's out, I would imagine they'll push that button even more. Especially with the role that AD's been on the past few games. I think he's averaged something like 20. I don't even remember. I'll bring you back the numbers up later. But it's been something ridiculous the past few games since the season opener. He had
26 versus us, you know. So
yeah, he's been rolling.
We had Wendell, and that didn't really seem to stop him much anyway. So it's okay.
Yeah, AD's been rolling. He's been, since the season opener, it's been 30, 30, 26, and 27.
Yeah.
And then, you know, getting the rebounds, blocks, like he's just been dominant. So I don't feel like they're going to do anything differently because they've already been in the motion of like, let's keep AD involved. You know, the reality is LeBron James is 2 months away or a month and a half away from turning 39 years old. You know, we can't, you know, you don't just put the ball in his hands all game and just rely on him all game. You know, there's going to be a sprinkle of D'Lo, Austin Reeves, you know, but a lot of it's going to revolve around AD, getting the guards, you know, getting him involved, the ball handlers getting him involved. But a lot of it is going to center around, you know, his roll gravity, his post-ups, and his just ability to suck in the defense, you know, when he's in the paint or towards the middle. So that's not going to change. And at least I wouldn't expect it to change, you know, with Wendell being out for Saturday's game.
You know, I'm wondering with the Magic right now, given the situation that they're in, you know, coming home, Jonathan Isaac has been pretty healthy. They've managed him a little bit. They didn't let him play on the back-to-back, you know, versus the Clippers after they played the Lakers. I'm wondering if this is the game where we see him played his most minutes, you know, push to 20, low 20s. They probably won't match him as a starter minute, but I wonder if, like, they throw him as the starting five next to Paolo and have him go up versus AD, or maybe he's like one of the first guys off the bench to kind of like, you know, give AD some defensive problems because he's probably the only person on this team that has a chance of slowing down Anthony Davis, in my opinion. You know, Mo Wagner has been a better defender this year, but he's not really a defensive threat. You know, Goga is in theory a pretty decent defender, but haven't really seen him play much this year to know how he's looking and stuff like that. You know, I had a decent Biba run, so it'd be interesting to see how they utilize Jonathan Isaac versus Anthony Davis, if that's the route they decide to go positionally. Now, man, what do you think the Magic have to do to slow down? You're good. You need to get that? Okay, cool. What do you think the Magic have to do to slow down D'Angelo Russell? Because last time, you know, we had Suggs and Fultz out there, and he had a heyday. What do you think was made him so successful during that game that the Magic might need to do to just control that a little bit better?
Yeah, I think I guess I'll approach it from the Lakers side first and then approach it from the Magic side. For D'Angelo, that was really, I think, his first, you know, he had a couple of a few just not typical street performances for him leading into that game. So for D'Lo, that was like his, like, all right, he's starting to get the ball rolling. And he even had another good, really good game against the Clippers. I think that was on Wednesday. So for him, I mean, it's very much like he, between him and Austin, you know, I think what the Lakers are looking for are for those two to really, you know, keep the offense afloat. Even when LeBron's in the game, especially when LeBron's out of the game, but even when LeBron's in the game, just like I said, not to put too much, what do you want to call it, strain or responsibilities in his hands. Like Spark Darvahan spoken about this, you know, they want to, you know, they're trying to, you know, keep the offense spread out in the sense of like, you know, it's not just going to be someone dominating the ball for 95% possession. It's going to be, sure, you know, everybody gets involved. So for the Magic, it's about, you know, staying attached, you know, on D'Lo's pick and rolls. Don't lose sight of, you know, don't help off of him too much off ball, because he can be a very effective, not can be, he's a very effective catch and shoot 3-point shooter. So staying attached on those pick and rolls, you know, trying to stay on his hip. He can get you with a little, you know, a little shoulder shrug. He's a little stronger than maybe he was the previous few seasons. So I think for Mark, you know, I don't know what Markel's status is going to be, but whether it's Markel, Jalen, you know, if Anthony Black gets those minutes, or gets more minutes, Gary, Cole, like just staying attached on the pick and rolls, which is a much harder thing to do than it is to say. And then just being mindful of where he is, because, you know, the Lakers, the one thing the Lakers do have, they have a lot of good passers throughout the lineup, including in the front court. Jackson Hayes is impressive in that regard. Christian Wood is a very capable passer. AD is a good passer. LeBron's obviously LeBron. So those swing passes can happen so quickly. So if you know, you lose focus for a second and D'Lo's freed up, then that second of just being open can get him rolling. And it seems like with D'Lo, once he gets rolling, it can be hard to slow down, because he's able to do it, you know, off the ball, on the ball, you know, from beyond the arc, inside the arc, just in a variety of ways.
Totally. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Now, when it comes to, we're going to wrap this up because I know you got to go here in a few minutes. So I just want to like ask a couple more questions, and then, you know, we'll just say our goodbyes and, you know, hope the Magic continue to just whoop that ass tomorrow or tonight. Kobe, from a
just Lakers say Saturday. I'll make it easier for you.
Saturday.
There you go.
Thank you. You're helping me out here. Professionalism right there, bro. That's how you do it. You just say Saturday. Kobe, for the Lakers to be successful and to end this matchup 3-3, four and two. What is the key for them to contain the Magic?
I think they'll have to do a better job with keeping the Magic off the glass. I think that was an advantage that the Magic had in Monday's matchup. I think the Magic had 12 offensive rebounds and more second chance points. I think it was close to 20 second chance points, maybe more than that. And, you know, the Magic finished with 103 points. So that's a significant amount of their offensive production. You know, keeping them out of transition, keeping them off the offensive glass is easier said than done, especially since those are areas that the Lakers just have struggled in, you know, going back to last season. I think those are going to be the keys for the Lakers. So I'm curious to see, you know, depending on availability, Torian Prince didn't play against the Clippers because I think he had left knee soreness that flared up during his pregame warmups. Gabe Vincent's not going to be available after playing against the Magic. You know, Jared Vanderbilt's going to continue to be out. So I wonder if we saw against the Clippers, the Lakers start, they use this front court of Jackson Hayes, Anthony Davis, and Christian Wood, just this super big lineup that, yeah, that I'm sure like a lot of Magic fans want to see from their own group between, you know, well, I know Wendell's at now, but, you know, I know people want to see, you know, J.I., Wendell, and Paul on the floor at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll see that lineup again, depending on player availability, but just playing big, the Lakers have had success with that, especially when it comes to defensive rebounding and just keeping it, you know, one shot and go defensively. So I'm curious to see how much they'll lean on that again, whether it's, like I said, the three big lineup or even, you know, more AD and Christian Wood or more AD and Jackson Hayes and Christian Wood. Just they've already used those lineups before, but just leaning more into it to negate the Magic's strengths and when it comes to, like I said, transition offense and offensive rebounding.
Totally. That makes sense. Now let's flip the question, man, because you know this Magic team pretty well. You just covered them for, you know, over a season. You know, they're not too far away from what you remember, and you just saw them versus the Lakers a few nights ago. What's it going to take for the Magic to come away being 4-2?
Yeah, the same, just the inverse of what I've just said. They'll have to, you know, they're going to be a different team just because Wendell being out, which will change things significantly. I think the one thing for the Magic is keep the movement going. I think that's an area that, you know, offensively, keep the ball moving, keep the player movement going. If there's one area that you don't want to get into a slowed down sort of game with the Lakers from the Magic perspective, just sure. Because if they do go bigger, you know, they're going to close off a lot of passing lanes or driving lanes. And they have the advantage, especially when you talk about LeBron, D'Lo, Austin Reeves, just the ball handlers, or even AD. I think they have the advantage from the standpoint of, you know, slower pace game, methodical pace game. I would definitely say that, you know, for the Magic to win this game, they're going to have to be, you know, play quick but not fast. Don't go too fast. Don't be out of control, but be quick and intentional with every movement. On and off the ball, and keep the Lakers, you know, keep them on their toes. Don't let AD, you know, be close to the paint at all times. You know, don't let the length and size always be in, you know, toward the rim. Trying to mix up the combinations or mix up where guys are on the floor so you can kind of open things up a little bit, maybe from the sides, and try to get, you know, attack the offense from that standpoint. That makes sense. Instead of head on.
I'm also just going to add taking and making open shots and hitting your free throws. Those are a few things that this is just a theme for this Magic team so far to start the year. So we're just going to keep that up too, you know. Let's let Gary Harris have another good night. Joe Ingles cook a little bit from there, you know. Have some better shooting luck with Paulo and Franz from 3-3 and whatnot. So we'll see. All right, Kobe, man, I really appreciate you having taken a few minutes to join me on the show today. I am stoked for Magic fans to hear this on Saturday and get a little game preview of the Magic versus the Lakers. One of these teams is going to be walking away 4-2, which will be real fun. Man, even though it's not with or for the Magic, I'm going to let it slide this time. Because it is against a team that a lot of Magic fans don't like anyways, but we always love you. Can you tell everyone where they can find your new work?
No, I appreciate the love. You can always find me on Twitter or X, whatever it's called. Whatever you want to call it these days. Still Kobe_Price, KHOBI_PRICE on that app, website, etc. Southern California News Group is my employer, but you can follow, you know, my stories, see my work on OC Register, LA Daily News, all of these Southern California News Group newspapers. So check me out. I'm sure I'll be having a variety of stories throughout the weekend regarding Lakers Magic, the day of the game, or even after the game too.
That's what's up, man. Well, I'm psyched. I'll definitely be checking out some of your work, recapping when you write about that L the Lakers just took on Saturday. So, all right, man, I'm going to let you get it. Go enjoy Orlando while you're here for a little bit. It's your day off. Go have fun, and we'll talk soon, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate you.